The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, coming to you cordless, everybody. It's 11:02 on the East Coast of the United States, 8:02 on the West Coast, and 2 minutes after 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia. And I mention that because I know we got about five people in Sydney watching. I'm Jim Peters, and welcome to Jim Peters at Night. I think this is episode number 41, I think. I'm not sure. I don't count. I count on the weekends. Hope you had a good day today. Let me tell you what we've got going on tonight. Jeff Meyer, the CEO and publisher of Conk News, is going to be joining us in a few minutes. We will talk about a lot of stuff. Always interesting to have him on. Like I said last night, even if you don't agree with him, he's always got an interesting take on stuff. Tomorrow, it's open cam night. I don't know what to call it. I'm trying to come up with some sort of tricky name, little alliteration or something. But tomorrow night, I'm going to take you calls all night long. And also, I should point that out tonight, too. Jeff's live. If you want to call up and ask him a question or want to butt into the conversation, please do so. You can go to jimatnight.com/call. If you go to jimatnight.com, the menu item is call in. There's a big blue button at the top of the screen. You press it and you're in. It's simple. It's way even easier than dialing the telephone or dialing your cell phone. You can do this. It's very, very simple. I've asked every person who's called in thus far, was it hard? Everyone said no. David from San Francisco said it was harder to find our website than it was to call in. And he's right, it is. So anyway, yeah, we got that going on tonight. Monday, I'm taking Monday off. I'm going to the dentist. I don't want to try talking after that. Last time I went to the dentist about three, four weeks ago, I couldn't talk that evening. I'm glad I took it off. Tuesday. It's our Halloween BS Spooktacular. We've got some regulars here. I actually asked Jeff if he wanted to join us. He can't. He's out of town. But I know Don Zorro's joining us, and Tim Conaway for sure, and maybe Larry Newman was on a few nights ago. And you too. You can call in. Got to call in with your costume. The reason it's the Hollywood BS Halloween. Halloween BS Spooktacular is because it's BS as in bullshit. We're not going to talk about anything important whatsoever, nothing. And I encourage you, if you have a bottle of liquor or alcoholic beverage in your house or where you're calling from, you may imbibe. You can do that. Normally, I wouldn't say that, but yes, this show you can. So, hold on just a second. I want to figure if I'm going to... Okay, the other thing I want to tell you about, every once in a while I remind you where to watch. This show is broadcast on 7 different social networks simultaneously and plus audio only on Spreaker Live. Now, for Spreaker, you need the Spreaker app to get that. You can't get it off their website. But you got the Spreaker app, you go to the live section, and we're on there live, and all of our audio only, our audio feeds are turned into podcasts right away. So we have a podcast thing on Spreaker, and of course, everywhere. Of the 7 networks we're on the video, I strongly recommend Rumble, maybe YouTube. YouTube does a good job. The episodes that are fed into our website are from YouTube. They're fed in from YouTube because they make that very easy to do. I recommend Rumble if you can. Rumble, as I predicted when we started, is the only place we're getting any real significant viewership. I thought, especially this stage of the game, and I think we cracked 650 followers on Rumble. I want to thank Eddie Scarry for joining us last night. Wonderful interview. I got a lot of positive feedback. I want to thank Eddie. He had really nice things to say about us on Twitter, and that got passed around, so that was kind of nice. So thanks to him. We're gonna have his book up, but I was hoping to get that done today. I didn't have his book up in our blogs. Or his books, excuse me, He's got four of them. We talked mostly about liberal misery, but I'm going to put the other three up there too. So, and I the liberal misery book, I strongly recommend. First of all, like I said during the interview, it's only 150 pages long. It's not a long book. He gets right to the point. He makes his point. He gets out. You don't have to spend, you know, 48 hours reading this thing. So, and Jeff will be joining us in a few minutes while I talk about my day today. And let me tell you about my day today. So I went for a walk, trying to get a little exercise. This is probably here in Minneapolis. I forgot to mention the fact that we're in Minneapolis. And right now it's 7 minutes after 10 p.m. live. In Minneapolis, this might be the last nice day of the year. It was about 60 degrees today, no rain. It rained yesterday. It's going to be about the same temperature tomorrow, but it's going to rain, and after that, the temperature is going to plummet. So that might be the start, unofficial start of winter. We'll see. They're saying that for Halloween, Tuesday night, it's going to be about, the high is going to be about 37 degrees. So that's fun. The weird thing about here in the fall is you never know what the, around this time of year, around the 1st of November through Thanksgiving, you never know what the temperature is going to be. It can be anywhere from 70 degrees to below zero. And I'm not kidding. I know that about 5-6 years ago, Thanksgiving, it was the high was 2 below. It was brutal. It was terrible. Just absolutely terrible. So you never really know. So I went for a walk today. Last night, I went to Gold Medal Park. Last night, nice day of the year. And then I went to get my wife to a local coffee shop here right down the street. I went to get her coffee. She loves her coffee. She loves her lattes, and I want to talk about that. So in the line in front of me at the coffee shop, there is a young couple, a very pretty young woman. I'm guessing both these people were in their mid-20s is my guess. Very, very nicely stylishly dressed. And the man that was with her, well, he had a man purse. And then I heard him talk. And I'm going to get in trouble for talking about this, but I don't really care. Also, it leads into my next point. It's, you know, for years, about half of the gay male population is basically as, you know, effeminate. They joke about the black and white ball. It's either top or bottom, you know, and half of them aren't. And that's fine. You know, that's okay. The thing I've noticed lately, and I think maybe you've noticed this, it's become almost trendy for straight young men to act effeminate. This is the problem. So I don't know if this guy in front of me was gay or straight. I can't tell because he was with this woman. I have the, you know, but I know there's always the thing about the gay friend, you know, but I still think that actually they were a couple as far as I could tell. And I just thought, you know, like, why? What is going on here? And it reminded me of something I read years ago, about 5 years ago, that still sticks with me because I didn't believe it when I read it. I actually had to go back and double check because I thought this could not be. And what I read is there was a survey, it was Gallup or Harris, it was a major poll company, that took a survey of single liberal females in the United States. These were all single women who were all Democrat, liberally leaning, and they were all under 40, like 1,000 of them, you know? So none of them were married. And 75% of them said they wanted to marry a conservative man. And that just blew my mind. I didn't believe it. I thought, you know, but you know, the thing, and all right, now I'm going to get in more trouble. The thing about straight women is they'll tell you they want a really sensitive boyfriend that cries at the movies and all that sort of shit. Maybe they want that as a boyfriend, but as a husband, no. They want somebody who can beat the shit out of somebody who's trying to hurt them. That's the bottom line. So it's not really a lie. It's the difference between who you're dating and who you want to marry. And we all know, you know, I'm 68. I've done this dance a few times. You know how this is. And that is, you know, you fall in love with a lot of people and you don't always marry the person you think you're gonna. You know, it's like, who knows why people marry the people they marry. But Anyway, the reason, so I brought the, you know, so I thought about that today. I thought, I couldn't tell if this guy was straight or gay. I couldn't tell. And I was leaning towards straight because of the woman he's with and the way they were interacting. Even though he had his man purse and he had a very distinct lilt in his voice. And that bothers me. it doesn't bother me that gay men do that at all. It bothers me that a straight man would act that effeminate. That's what bothers me. So that gets to the next point. I'm watching Jesse Waters on Fox News tonight, and he brought up the fact that, and apparently this is well known when people watch the show. I don't watch it anymore. The current season of Survivor. Survivor's been on television since 2000. I know that because I was with a group, a comedy group that did a parody of it in 2000 when it first came out. I still remember. Also, I remember the guy who won. He was like the last person you'd ever think would win. His name was Dick, and it was just, that was his name, Richard. And he was basically kind of considered the asshole of the group, and it surprised everybody that he won. But, and also, at that point, no one had ever played the game before. Nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew anything about alliances, any of that crap. Nobody knew. They were all just flying in the they were fumbling around in the dark. So I think they do two seasons of that a year. So I think they're on season 46. They're on the 46th rendition of this. It's hard to believe. It's unbelievable. It's been on television that long. But this season so far has been different than all the rest because, first of all, half of the contestants have quit without even being voted off. They just quit. They couldn't stand the whole thing. And then you have contestants that are there that are begging people to vote them off. And one guy says, well, I'm going to quit because I don't want to take somebody else's dream away or something. And they're bitching and moaning about the conditions. And it's like, really? Since when did this happen? It's like, and so my wife will tell you that I'm just an old curmudgeon and I'm bitching about all the young people, and every generation has done it. But something's changed, and I'm not kidding. It's like, we are raising a whole generation of pussies. There's just no way getting around this. They don't want to compete, and I don't want to talk to Jeff about this in a few minutes too, because, you know, Jeff is, his forte is business. And the thing, you're dealing with kids who don't want to they don't want to compete at all. And all the people in this cast, as far as I could tell, were basically under 30 or maybe under 35. So they're all younger. They're younger, and they're not interested. They don't want the prize. Why did you come to the show? It's a game, you know. Why are you doing this? Well, I don't know. Wanted to get out of the house, you know. Who the hell knows, you know. And so I'm watching TV, and I'm sure you have too. You know what's going on in the Middle East, but what's really amazing, what's going on in college campuses here in the United States. You have all these college kids who are protesting against Israel, and actually, they're pretty much like pro-terror. And Gutfeld said this a couple nights ago on Fox News, and he's absolutely right. This gets to my point. This is different. You know, this is not your standard bullshit college, protest, you know, about anything or any, even about politics. No, you have college kids who are now advocating for terror. And that's nuts. Not only that, these kids are stupid. So they had on Fox News, they had on the woman who lost her $200,000 job coming out of Harvard because she signed this letter pro Hamas. And not only is she doubling down, but she's calling the fact that she didn't get her... Now, get a load of this. She's calling the fact that she didn't get her job as an act of violence. Did you hear me? It's not, she didn't even get fired. If she didn't get hired in the, she did not get hired in the first place, and she's calling that violence. We have entered crazy town. This is just complete fucking bullshit. And these people are going to be running the country. And so I'm a great fan of the Hot Air website at hotair.com. David Strom and Jazz Shaw, a couple of our contributors, guys who come on here, they work there. But still, they have just a fantastic slew of writers. But Strom himself wrote a piece this afternoon about the fact that, and I'm sorry, was it MIT? I think it was. Where it's a physics department, physics, has decided to go woke. They are now talking about diversity, equity, inclusion in science, and not in the staffing of the people in science, actual science. This woman says, I'm going to prove the fact that the entire universe is non-binary. What the fuck? What are you talking about? God damn. It's like, I don't know what's... This is crazy shit. And then one other thing that happened today in Oregon, the state of Oregon passed a law for their high school students there that you no longer have to prove proficiency in reading, writing, or arithmetic. Why are we going to school? We're going to school apparently to protest. And I got to bring this up too. At Berkeley today, they told the student body that they will get extra credit toward graduation if they protest against Israel. Yeah, you heard me right. They're going to get extra credit for protesting against Israel. Great thing to put on a resume. All right, I'm getting depressed here. I think we're going to bring Jeff Meyer on. This is Jeff Meyer. He's the CEO and publisher of Conk News. Let's run the bumper. Hi, Jeff.
Good evening.
Did you hear anything I talked about?
I did. I heard it all. Sorry, I was taking some notes. So
that's okay.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. You're very welcome. Do you have any thoughts, especially the thing on Survivor? I actually thought of you because your forte is kind of business and leadership, and that's a great way to raise leaders, isn't it? What the fuck is going on there?
Okay, I got to rewind because I first of all, number one, don't agree with me. Please don't agree with me.
You mean
when you say some people don't agree with Jeff?
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to agree with me. I love to argue.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to reiterate this. You want to call up and talk to us, please do. Go to jimandknight.com/call. Yeah.
I love to have a conversation so I can learn and have my ideas challenged. And that's what a discussion is. So if you want to challenge me, I was raised by a German and he challenged everything you did. Number two, thank God you have the disclaimer and your gaydar sounds like it's getting rusty.
Yes, it is, isn't it? So, I was telling, Eddie Scary, the guy who was on last night, he is a gay man. So I had talked to him a little bit about being a gay Republican. We had a little bit of a discussion about that. So yeah, maybe my gaydar is getting a little rusty. I don't know. It's like,
at your age, shit starts to break down just naturally.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, number four, Richard, the original winner of the first Survivor, was gay.
Oh, that's right. He was. That's correct.
Yeah. And again, our society is accepting of all sorts of lifestyles and forgiveness of people do terrible things, beg for forgiveness, show that they want forgiveness. And that's the great thing about America. Survivor's been rigged from the very first show. There's just no way they don't poke these people, and I mean, it's a TV show.
Do you know?
They need advertisers. They need viewers.
Jeff, before Johnny Carson died, he said, "I am in more danger eating dinner than those people are." That was his quote about Survivor.
Exactly. And so, Survivor falling apart. Thank God. That show was done after probably season three.
God, it's just I know.
Ridiculous. I mean, people study how they think they're going to survive it. Now, these are people that have never gotten lost in like a state forest.
Yeah, or the mall.
I'm turned around. Which way does the sun come up? Which way? What time of day is it?
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And so they think being able to do push-ups and pull-ups and that kind of physical stuff. It's life is a mental game. It always has been, and it always will be. And that is why your discussion about women wanting someone that are going to defend them is just a natural instinct of our humanness.
Yeah, but right? you never get that impression listening to them. That's what that's the thing that surprises me. I
they're
mean,
they're women.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to point out, Jeff right? Meyer said that, not me.
They say we're, you know, I was talking to a PR person today about some ads that they've done, and they've targeted them towards men. And she says, they're just simple ads. And I'm like, duh, we're men.
We're men, that's right.
I mean, I mean, we're not complicated.
No, we aren't.
We're really pretty stupid.
That's animals. Right. That's right. What do you want? Sex, said, money, and food.
You complicate it because you think we're something other than simple.
Yeah.
We're just simple men.
It's true. Right?
We're programmed to get up, get on the gerbil wheel, get home, make ourselves some dinner if we have to, and maybe have some sex. I mean, yeah. It's simple. And then tomorrow is rinse and repeat.
That's right.
It's not that complicated.
No, it isn't. I totally agree. Go ahead.
Get on. There is a clash coming in modern day American business. Again, we live in Minnesota where the Target Corporation has been, you know, started. And the philosophy of the customer is always right. And again, that's been a successful position for businesses to take because, you know, a lot of things. One, it's easier to keep a customer than to find a new one.
Right.
That's just, everyone knows that. Two, customers that are having issues really are discovering problems inside your internal processes.
No shit.
They're the yeah. best source of discovering. You said you were going to bring me a couch and I got a fucking footstool, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how do we deliver a footstool? It said couch on the paperwork. Who loaded it? I mean, so those dynamics are intrinsically good to have a communication between the customer and the business. Again, they identify issues in your processes. If you're a good business, you'll address those and change them. Like, I guess we need someone else to check what was loaded. So if you can't read couch and you put a footstool on there, that doesn't end up at the customer's house. The problem is, and you hit it, the education system used to be where you would sort out the screwballs from the people that were going to be doctors and save your life. Now it's just a place for a bunch of teachers to show up at, get this curriculum pushed down their throat that doesn't, in the end, they know it's not helping raise these kids the bars of their life or the rungs on the ladder they're going to go up because we're not teaching them to read, like you said, and write.
Yeah, but
to count.
Jeff, what happens with like you were saying, the doctors, people have to really know real shit, you know, mission critical application, you know, what we can't.
It's already happened. There are no doctors. Try to get into a doctor's appointment. It's 30 to 60 days out.
Yeah, that's true.
That industry is already running out of workers, and you can't have them walk across the southern border.
Yeah.
And check your prostate.
No, correctly. No. My endocrinologist, I had to book 6 months ahead of time to see him. Yeah. That's nuts.
Right.
That's crazy.
And he's not in Vail skiing. There just aren't enough of them.
Right. That's correct. That's right. That's the problem. Right? Supply and demand.
He's not on his boat in the Caribbean.
Nope, he isn't. No, he's not even taking Wednesdays off to golf. He's working right. like a dog. Right.
Yep. And so we're watching this happen at every level. Every level of our life, there is total chaos. I mean, a Subway, footlong Subway sandwich in Minnesota, in this Twin Cities area, is like $15.
No shit. You don't have to tell me yeah. about this, man. I do the shopping in my family. Right. I'm just astonished. I went to Target this afternoon. There's stuff that's gone up so high, so fast. I mean, some of this stuff, I mean, like, well, I used an example. I told the show this story last week. I use a certain type of energy pill from a very large vitamin company that everybody knows. I'm not going to name them. I've been buying these pills for like 10 years. They've been $15 a bottle the entire time. Now I go, last week I went, $25 a bottle, and no 2-for-1 or no 50% sale or nothing like that. Went up $10 in like a month, you know?
Right.
Shit.
Again, I'm not blaming this. Subway's got to get $15 to stay in business.
Oh, of course they do. That's right. You can't, right? Yeah, you can't blame the retailers for this. No.
Right. It's like shouting at the person behind the counter at the post office that your mail service sucks.
Well, yeah, right.
What are they going to do about it?
Right, right. That's right.
For the government.
That's correct.
Know? It's like calling the IRS and bitching about your tax rate.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Americans, the uneducated American is easy fodder for what they're trying to do to us in my eyes, right? The confusion, you have all these questions, but you rather would watch Thursday night football tomorrow than dig into what the hell is going on around the world. Because what's going on around the world knows what's going on here because they watch it. You know?
Yeah.
We're the lazy bastards that show up into a foreign country and think everyone should speak our language or understand us.
Right, right.
And that's, if you haven't traveled internationally, that's the first thing you pick up on is everyone knows I'm an American, whether I'm being an asshole or not. The guy or woman before me set the marker.
Right, that's right. There is this creeping feeling that they're trying to train us to be basically non-questioning, blind consumers who just sit home and watch Thursday night football. I mean, you get that impression? It's like they're trying to indoctrinate us to do this. They don't want us asking questions.
And I how I think. So I'm wondering if I'm the idiot. Like, why don't I just not care and just watch the football game? I mean, Monday, right here, this team, the Vikings, woo-hoo, beat San Francisco.
I know, I'm amazed.
Right?
Yeah.
And everyone's supposed to care. I had someone say to me today, can you believe the Vikings won? I said, who cares? I was there in 1998 when they let Morton Anderson kick a field goal from the Atlanta Falcons to beat us in our home stadium with Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Who cares what the Vikings do? So the world is spun upside down. And the worst part is America is spun upside down and we're starting to lose our ability to find north.
Yes.
And when I say that is if you lose your compass bearing, you can never get it back.
Or it takes a long time, right?
Long time. And we're an experiment only 250 years old.
Correct.
The last one similar to us lasted, over 1,000 years, the Roman Empire.
Yeah. And have you?
And they spun out of control because the Muslims didn't like all the sex. And they just started little brush fires in small towns, not near Rome. And the Roman Empire ended up falling down because the people in Rome, which I would say Washington, D.C., or the state in the St. Paul, the capital cities, said it'll never happen. That can't happen to us.
That's right. It can't, right, exactly. I mean, you and I have talked about this before. 2,000 years of the Roman Empire, and all of a sudden you got guys, you know, at their orgy or something like that, and they're talking, well, this has lasted forever. It's going to last forever, and it didn't. You know, they can't even imagine it failing.
Yeah, yeah. Sears Roebuck is gone.
Yes, and Sears Roebuck should have been Amazon. That's right. But, you know, they're not.
Yes. Right. No. No. And so you don't. So, and again, that's why. And again, I talk, pardon me, about this stuff in a negative way. But I'm programmed to say, Jesus sucks. But I look at it from a business standpoint and say, the shitty jobs pay the best because no one wants to do them. So in this turmoil, you have to sit with yourself and say, where's my opportunity? What is my opportunity? Am I going to be ready for it when it comes knocking, or is it going to pass me by? And I think that's, in the end, the people that I work with and talk business, that's what I say is, what are you preparing for? Winter is coming, no matter what.
Yeah.
In fact, spring's coming in Minnesota in 57 days. The days start to get longer. So if you're getting down about this snow that's going to show up sooner or later, just remember, in 57 days, the
right.
clock turns. The pendulum starts swinging the other way, and spring will be here. Whether you think it will or won't, it's going to show up. That's guaranteed more than the United States stays a free country or Rome fell. Spring is going to come, because the way this planet works, that just happens.
So, you know,
so
you know,
positively stick with it. Whatever you're going through, there's light in your tunnel. You may not see it yet, but I hate this time of year because it's dark. And we just don't have.
And your light just went out.
Yeah. And my camera went out. That's the universe getting.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
So anyway, there is hope. 57 days, we start adding about a minute to a minute and 10 seconds a day. Yeah, is that much? I don't know. Talk to Dave Ramsey. If you started saving $1.12 every day in an interest earning account, you'd have a quadrillion dollars. Look at it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, so the last time you were on, you know, after you left, we got a caller that was talking about how depressing this conversation was. But on the other hand, I got to say, it kind of is depressing. All the shit that's going on at college campuses, and the Jew hating, and it's like, it's like a whole bunch of people have raised their ugly heads and like, yeah, I really do hate Jews. You know, I just don't believe it. It's like if people have come out of the woodwork, and these kids, these stupid fucking kids, you know, David Mamet, the playwright, and I think you know this, he's a former liberal, now a conservative. He said, if I were you, when your kids come home from college for Christmas, don't send them back. And I thought, well, shit, that's a, you know, he's a dramatist, but that's a pretty dramatic thing to say. He's got a point, you know.
I'd say don't send them at all.
Yeah, that's when he
go find a job.
Right, that's what he's talking about. Don't send them back to school. Don't go back. Right, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I think just from a human standpoint, and again, in America, we're taught at school to show up on time and listen to authority. It was the agrarian base of our schooling, and it hasn't changed, right?
Right.
And you watch it go down the freeway at 6 o'clock in the morning. There's people risking their life to get somewhere for what? On their deathbed, they will never say, thank God I made it to work 1 minute early so I could punch in on time.
Right.
That's, as a human being, human to human, that's the most ridiculous thing. And we should stop and pause and say, why? Why do we do that to ourselves? It doesn't do anything to make our lives better, to live longer. And in the end, when you look at this world fighting each other, who wins when the Israelis and the Palestinians, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Bloods, the Crips, any of that, when any of that, all we do is reinforce that the government doesn't give one shit about its citizens. They say you should shoot each other to solve this. Why? Why can't we as humans say, oh, time out?
Well,
let's look at who's pushing this.
The thing about the Israeli-Hamas conflict, though, is that the way I look at it anyway, you've got one group of people who have had a highly successful civilization for eons, right? And then you got another group of people who, like you were saying, do not even seem to be interested in a government catering to its own citizens. That, you know, they're pulling a concrete out of wells to make bombs and incendiary devices. They don't give a shit about the populace, and we're people are asking us to care equally about both of these things. And I don't see it. All I see is one group of people trying to kill another group of people.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that that's right. But let's take that a step in a different direction and say that only happens because we're trained to say we shouldn't like you. I'm a Christian. You're a
Oh yeah.
Muslim,
No.
right?
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, I don't even, if you ask most of the Palestinians, I don't even think they could tell you why they hate Jews. I don't even think they know at this point.
No, right. I mean, why is there this big divide between blacks and whites in America? Because the government says there should be.
Yeah, now that's correct.
We should remember blacks in September or whatever Black History Month is. It's like, really? Why should we worry one about skin color? Why shouldn't we worry about each other all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, and again, it's a simple Christian standard, but it's a hard thing when you're grinding away with a $15 freaking Subway in your hand going, this sucks.
There,
And it's
well,
because we never get a chance to actually just be what we want to be. We're told what we have to be. Show up on time and listen to authority. And that's beat into your head. And then they'll say, you might be a good math person, Jim. And Jeff, you might be a good ditch digger. And then they coax you to learn how to do math and me how to dig a ditch.
yeah.
And how do we pause the people that watch this show? I have this thing called the Earth Connection Test. I'm going to have you do it.
Okay.
Okay, so this is it. I don't want you to verbalize the location, right? So we're doing this from something you're going to picture in your mind.
Okay.
So the first step one is close your eyes.
All right. My
Close
eyes are
your
closed.
eyes.
I got a lot of equipment to
Yep,
run here,
think of
but
the,
okay.
you're good.
All right.
Think of the best location you've vacationed at.
All
And
right.
don't give us that, okay? So you're
Okay.
picturing that, right?
Okay.
So verbally answer these three questions. What's under your feet?
There.
When you're standing at the best location you've ever vacationed at, what are you standing on? What are your
Well,
feet on?
okay. I'm at the ocean, but I'm on the ground. There's no beach.
Okay, so you're standing on the sand.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you feel on your face?
What do I, what? What do
What do you feel on your face?
I? Oh, the wind.
Okay. What do you hear?
Seagulls.
Perfect. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone, that's to me the simplest way to figure out, really, that's what they should teach you in school. They should expose you to standing by the sea, standing in the woods, standing by a machine, standing by a noisy road. There's things that intrinsically you're programmed that make you like, oh man, this makes me feel at peace. And couldn't I work better if I felt at peace than if it was I got to run up and down 30 miles of concrete with the tires buzzing. And that's where I think we should try to drive this next generation. Find that happy place or peaceful place or place where you feel the most energized. That's where you should figure out how to live and work. Now, I'm not saying you can lay out chairs at the beach.
Like the
And
president
then,
does.
yeah, and then try to get out of it like you're 80 some years old. But I mean, isn't that what school should teach you? Instead of forcing something on you that, people that can't write, you should got to learn to write, right?
Yeah.
You need to be able to communicate. Writing is the way, a form of the best form of communication. Talking's a good way of communicating. But there's these things that we don't even do in school for people. You don't find your happy place and get your feet on the beach until somewhere, maybe your parents took you there, but you're not old enough to understand it. And so I just think that when people picture, for me, it's standing on the ground in the northern part of Wisconsin. Yeah. I get excited when I drive up there. The first thing I do when I get out of my car, I like to just stand there and listen and feel either the sun or the wind blowing and what wildlife is making noise. And it's like, why isn't that our goal in life? Who gives a shit if you have a 17-bedroom house? Because that thinking for the 17-bedroom house means you got to hate the neighbor or someone because you're collecting these things, right?
Yeah.
And look at my wall. I got Kentucky Derby winners. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're caught in this. But at some point, you got to stop and say, this isn't working. We're headed towards Rome, which means we're either going to be speaking Chinese or Russian or whatever they speak in India. This thing is going to bust.
Jeffrey, here's a good example of, I think, what you're talking about. I've been thinking about this for a while. For years and years, all these stupid fucking experts have been talking about the fact that there's way less women who pursue mathematics than men, right? So they've been trying to, they've tried all sorts of things to get women interested in math. Okay, here's the deal. Maybe they're just not interested in math, you know? I'm getting to your point here about the fact, why force or try to coerce somebody to do something they simply have no particular interest in? Conversely, about the 17-room house, you know, there's guys who are completely obsessed with money. I mean, they think about it 24 hours a day, you know, and they end up making a lot of money because they're just damn good at manipulating it, right? Well, if that's your interest, God bless you. Go to town, you know, I don't know, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people who would, not a lot, there's some people who would choose to pursue their obsession for money more than your trip up north. You know what I mean?
Again, yes, I agree. The issue we're seeing with the pursuit of the money is you never get that feeling you had of standing there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a money person. I'm not. I admit it.
But I'm saying the money person isn't, you can never have enough money because there's always someone in the room with more.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
But you can stand at a beach and say, this is it.
Yeah.
And the guy next to you might say, this is it. And you're at the same beach.
Yeah. I'm a very simple person. I'm with you. Now, my accountant, conversely, my accountant has told me she has many, many very wealthy clients. And she has told me that at some point when you make that much money, when you're talking about tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, it's just a matter of keeping score. The money doesn't actually mean anything per se. That's how they keep score in business, how much money they're making. They don't really care about spending it. You know?
You got it. And again, that's what they push on TV. That's what they push on anything is that's what you're measured by. And when I think of your story about the system saying there should be more women mathematicians, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, right. That's my point, too. Why? If you're not interested, you're not interested. Right.
And the funny thing is that Kevin Costner movie that came out about the three African-American women that did all the math during one of the space things.
Moon launch, right.
That didn't come out until 50 years after, right?
That's correct. No one knew who those women were.
If you want to tell women or young girls, math is really cool, wouldn't you start with that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's not how our system, this evil system that's set up to drive people to keep on the gerbil wheel, that's what has to change. And we talked about it last time I was on. Wind and solar, keep our government taxation system intact.
Yeah.
We can't have a micro nuclear plant that can set up in your town. And
no.
Everyone in town benefits from it because it wrecks the tax system.
Right.
Wind and solar don't.
And they need the tax money. They have to
and
have
that's
it.
That's what they need. They need the tax money.
You just reminded me of something I want to run by you. So did you see this thing about the fact that it came out today, that Chuck Grassley released a thing about the fact that there have been 40 FBI informants that have been following the Biden family around for 15 years. Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
And they haven't really done anything. And the theory is that basically they have Biden blackmailed. So they know the whole family, it's a criminal enterprise. It's like, well, you know, if you leave us alone and you do what we say, we're not going to charge you, you know, and they haven't. None of this stuff's went anywhere. Even though they have a mountain of evidence, apparently, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Right. Yeah, no, it's... And again, look at today, some white hodunk from Louisiana, Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Gets 220 votes, so he gets every vote from the Republicans, and Hakeem Jeffries gets 209 Democrat votes. So Mike Johnson, now the system wanted either Scalise, Jordan, or Emmer, or McCarthy back in there, right? That was the swamp win.
Right.
And we've heard about the white hats and Trump's got all this stuff going on in the background. Well, this is really, to me, the first. This guy is a white hat.
Yeah.
If you follow that, this dude is from the team with the white hats, the ones that are going to blow the swamp up.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Matter of fact.
And so, right, that happens today. Grassley comes out with that the FBI knows just how dirty the Biden family is. And look at, there's 16 people dead from some asshole in Maine that shot up a couple of locations.
I didn't actually see that. I didn't see it.
Huh. Yeah. There's 50 or 60 wounded, at least 16 dead. And so now this knocks everything off the front page because this will be, he had an AR-15. He took a trained stance walking through. Right? This stuff is starting to be so coincidental and happened like, oh, this stuff's coming out. Play that card.
Right. That's right. That's right. And
it just happens too often. They keep crying wolf. This guy supposedly had some known mental issues, but why isn't he locked up?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I have known mental issues, but I'm not shooting anybody. So, and also the thing about Mike Johnson, you know, first of all, nobody knows who he is. That's the one thing they base it, you know.
Yeah, everyone in Washington D.C. knows who he is.
Yeah, right.
His politics are very clear.
Yes, they are. He's very, very conservative.
And the Republican Party did not want him as the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Because he's a constitutionalist and he's an attorney. So yep. He's not Nancy Pelosi who's going to be doing the big expensive ice cream refrigerator thing and playing the dirty politics.
Right.
This guy's a constitutionalist that can come in and knock their card over with one push of his
hand. And so Matt Gaetz is on Steve Bannon today and Bannon asked him, he says, well, you guys took four votes, four people in 22 days. Like, what's wrong? And Gates said, you don't understand. We won. I thought that was really interesting. You know, they actually did.
Up the vote count.
Yeah.
Like everyone fell in line here.
Right. I know they actually, I mean, the Freedom Caucus actually got what they wanted. They won. It's like, yeah, there's no way of getting around it. You know?
No, and Trump took full credit, so you know.
Yeah, that's right.
The system's going to be pissed off.
Right. Did you
standing in a courthouse.
he got put on the stand today. I don't know if you saw that. He actually got put on the stand for like, because the judge is going to find him. And the judge says, so did you say that I was a biased judge? And he said, yeah, I said that. Oh, God.
What I liked was, I'm watching it, right? Because this is the cutting news for the day. They're trying to make Johnson. They don't want people to know who Johnson is.
No, they don't. That's right.
But he's got the gavel, so you're kind of late to the party.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I'm watching it, you know, with the significant other, and I said, oh, they find Trump. And they show a picture of this doofus-looking judge, right?
Yeah.
Looks like some fucking Poindexter out of college.
Yeah. No.
Everyone hates now because college people hate the Jews, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do there.
That's right.
Right? And then they slap this guy with a $10,000 fine. So this is how stupid the educated are in our country. You have a billionaire on the stand and you say, we're going to fine you $10,000.
Yeah, that's right.
He should have taken the shit out of his pocket, or said to the guy in the back room, Billy, the judge wants 10,000.
Get some quarters.
I mean, yeah. Hey, do you remember Conaway's story about Larry Flint?
Which one?
So Larry Flint's in court and the judge slaps him with one of these out of order deals, right?
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'm fining you $25,000 or something. Get it paid tomorrow. Conaway says, the next day, Flint rolls in there, right?
Oh, yeah. It was.
And behind him are women in bikinis with dollar bills and wheelbarrows wheeling them up to pay the judge for the $25,000.
That's right. Yes, I remember that now. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
So that's the stuff. That should the mockery on the justice system. I mean, it's like, hey, judge, if you're going to really go after this guy, then go after him. It's just like you said, it's a bunch of pussies.
Yeah.
If you're going to go mano a mano, say, Trump, it's $1 million tomorrow. 10,000?
Yeah.
He shakes his shoe off and he's got 10.
That's right. I know. It's like going to McDonald's for him.
Right, you got it. He says, hey, don't start the jet for 3 seconds.
Yeah, right.
We'll save the 10 grand.
That's right.
I mean, how in the hell does the American public fall for that kind of bullshit, looking at this judge who looks like he needs a fucking barber, that twit, because he's got the robe on, says 10 grand? It's like, get your shit together, judge.
Yeah, hey,
make our justice system look so stupid. You got a billionaire on the stand. Either make him pay or shut the fuck up.
Jeff, this is not really about the judiciary per se, but I don't know if you've read this, but supposedly, latest Gallup poll done a couple weeks ago or something, trust by the American public in the U.S. media is at an all-time low. Like, only 32% of the public said they trust the media completely or a lot. Only 32%. And the rest said, no, it's bullshit.
Yeah, and you should. I mean, you can't look through the newspaper and see an article about something you know about, whether it's your career, a medical thing your family went through, some kind of litigation. The stories about it, and you read it and you go, that's a bunch of crap. That's not even whoever wrote this story is full of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then turn the page and read the next. You'll be right. It's either.
Hold it, Jeff. We can't hear you. Okay. Now you're back. Yeah. All right.
Okay. What I was saying is, if you read the newspaper and you find an article that you have knowledge of and you look at it and go, this story is totally BS. You can't turn the page and read the next article on the stock market and not say that's got to be BS,
because
why would it just be your story that's
right.
BS? The whole thing's BS.
Exactly. This is what I call the National Enquirer problem. Half of the stuff in the National Enquirer is true. You don't know what half. You don't know what's right. true and what isn't. So therefore, everything's bullshit. You know, even though some of it isn't. But you can't tell. You know.
Right. So turn it off. Go to Conk. conk.com.
That's right.
You'll find a nice array of conservative news.
All right, so let's
explain. You got to read it.
Let's explain what your website does. It's a news aggregator, right?
Correct.
You guys get.
We have about
go ahead.
75 different news sources.
Yeah.
And the stories aggregate on the site about every 3 hours. They change. When I say aggregate, they come onto the site. And as the news stories come up behind it, they get pushed down.
Yeah.
And so like Gateway Pundit, you know, the Hoff brothers, awesome journalists.
Right.
I don't know how they work. They have so much information and they're just dogged. 100% fed up, you know.
Yeah.
Red state.
Those people aren't going to, they're not going to rich either. That's the other thing we should point out. A lot of these people, they do this out of a sense of mission, you know?
Yes, yeah. And thank God they're there.
Yeah.
They're the voice of the future, and they at some point will be where everyone goes.
Right. That's right. They are
And Pfizer will have no place to do a drug ad.
Yeah.
You know? You watch Fox, MSNBC, CNN, your local news, your local channels. 80% of the ads have something to do with how sick America is and the drugs we need just to try to get through today.
Yeah. Well, the other reason is right now only old people watch broadcast television. My wife and I were literally just watching Norah Donald tonight. And she says, what's with all the drug ads? I said, Karen, don't you watch TV?
Yeah.
It's like, she just said that tonight. It's like, yeah, but you know, it's only old people watching television. So, you know, and they're all sick apparently.
Yeah, everyone, all the young people are on their phone.
That's right.
Just scrolling
past
it.
That's right.
Some of the things these brilliant college students are chanting is resistance is justified. Well, isn't that what January 6th was?
Yeah.
Globalize the intifada. Yeah, that's like saying, let's spread smallpox. Right?
Yeah, it is. You're right. That's exactly
Once you unleash that.
That's good. That's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. That's exactly what that is.
Yeah. You know, it isn't COVID where you're going to cough. It's they're going to come and kill you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what release the intifada is.
Yeah.
Smash the settler Zionist state. Okay. That sounds like there's some wiggle room in that.
Yeah. Well, the wiggle room is the difference between the Israeli government and the Israeli people. That's what AOC is constantly talking about in Ilhan Omar. She says, I don't hate the Israeli people. I hate the Israeli government. But she's a fucking Jew hater. I mean, come on. That's well known. I mean, she's from my district. That's well known. You know,
And again, this fake media has covered it up.
Yeah. No, they do. They just cover it up. Right? That's correct. I mean, this woman, I mean, she, you know. And in some ways, it's analogy for the whole Hamas-Israeli thing. She denies the fact she hates Jews. That's bullshit. She just does. I have no problem saying that here. That's my personal opinion for those of you the legal people watching this right now. But still, I think she hates Jews.
Yeah, well, and her words that have been recorded and played back prove.
I think so.
What her belief is.
There's
the one that really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this interesting in these college chants? From the river to the sea, it must be free.
Right. That's right.
So they're talking about from the Jordan River
to the Mediterranean. That's all of Israel.
You got it.
That's right.
That's like saying from Lake Michigan to the Mississippi River or the St. Croix, you know, must be free.
Right.
Okay, well, everyone in between.
That's right.
We're going to globalize the intifada on you.
So, Jeff, did you see that at the University of Washington, they are projecting these slogans on the side of a building. Have you seen that?
Yes. Yes.
Gutfeld said it was like the bat signal.
Right. Right.
You know.
Or maybe it's just so they can get everyone that comes and stops and looks, you know, whatever cameras are on the building, they get a facial recognition.
Yeah,
so
yeah, know. That's right. That's right. That they can run through some AI or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is, again, I don't want to portray that I have any idea in how this whole thing should work, shouldn't work. Who's took whose land, all that stuff. I just know that if you start in one of the oldest books, the Bible, they've been there a long time. And then they've been run out and run back in there.
There's
a lot of Muslim countries. There's only one Jewish country.
Yeah, right. And there is something to be said for just time of limitation. I mean, all right, so, you know, Israel started in 1948, 75 years ago. It's done. It's like the white settlers taking land from the American Indians. It's an atrocity. It was terrible, but it's over. It's done. You know, we can apologize. We can do all that sort of shit, but it's over. You're not going to get your land back, you know? And that's what I think about.
Well, until the next person takes it back.
Yeah, right.
That happens.
That's right. Until the next person, right.
The American Indians took it from some other American Indian. I mean, that's
correct.
That's called progress.
I guess. That's right.
It's just a fact.
Yeah.
It's like thinking, I'm salesperson of the year. Yeah, well, some jackass down the road is going to knock your metal out of your hand.
That's correct. You're right.
But,
I know.
You know, all records are broken, as the Romans.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, thanks for joining us this evening. Anything else on your mind that you want to talk about?
Nope. When are we on next?
You're on November 8th. You're November 15th. But you said you couldn't, and you're also going to be on the debate show on November 8th. That's what it is.
Yes, right. The 8th. Right. Okay.
Right.
Do you think they'll cancel that due to lack of interest?
I brought the fact up that you said that, you know, because there's a lot of people who agree with you. I mean, we'll plow through it.
Can't wait.
And then, of course, you can't make it on Halloween, unfortunately, huh?
No, I will. I have some customers that I'm buying some products internationally from, and they're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have to travel. I haven't traveled in a long time for lots of reasons, and I'm not looking forward to it because it sounds like they let about any rube sit up in the cockpit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do. Hey, but
when they open the door and walk out and say, "You should lock me up." They should have yelled to the pilots, take this thing down low. We're going to throw him out the door. We're going to DB Cooper this guy.
Jeffrey,
in America.
If you get a chance on Halloween, if you go to a men's room or something like that, call us for 5 minutes off your cell phone. You know, what the hell?
Okay.
Okay?
You got it.
All right.
Awesome.
Nice talking
Thanks
to you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Always. I'm looking forward to the next time.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, take care.
Sounds good.
Jeff Meyer from Calling News. Always entertaining. And he can be an inspiring individual. I mean, he's right about the fact we're all basically kind of on a gerbil wheel, and maybe we shouldn't be, you know. And that's, you can call me up here for the end, too, if you want. JimAtKnight.com/call. And I'm going to, let me bring up something I actually saved for part three here, which kind of goes along with what he was talking about. And I've been kind of harping on this before. Survey says, this is from Breitbart, but I've been reading this several different places. Survey says that about one out of every four people on the planet, not in the United States, on the entire planet, is saying that they're lonely. And it's an epidemic. I have been talking about this in the past. It's not good. It leads to depression. It becomes depression. You know, I hate to say it. People who live alone or are lonely kind of get crazy. You know, I think you know that, you know. And so, okay, you're asking, okay, Jim, what do I do about that? All right, so there are things you can do. First of all, try to mend your set fences with whatever family you have. Now, the thing is, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago or something like that, and I had to come on the next day and kind of make a correction because I realized we're a little too harsh. If your father raped you when you were 13, I don't think anybody's really expecting you to actually get together with him anymore. You know, as I understand, I don't mean that way either. I mean, in any fashion whatsoever, you know, if you don't want to talk to him again, you're probably justified, you know. But the problem is so many families have problems that are relative to that, as an example, so petty. That's the thing. It's like people cut off their relatives for the most petty reasons. And then there's, you know, there's the usual ones too. You're gay. Or you're a Republican, you know, Eddie Scarry and I talked about that last night. This is his book, Liberal Misery, and it's documented. This isn't just his opinion. Surveys and polls have shown that Democrats are way more likely to cut off Republicans from their friend because of their political views than the opposite than Republicans are. Yeah, people, you know, if your father's a liberal and you're a conservative, he might write you out, you know? Well, here's the deal. Don't. Try not doing that, you know? Or try not talking about politics. I'm lucky. I have a whole bunch of friends now. Most of them are liberals. But we just don't talk about politics. That's all. That's the way we handle it. You know, they know what I'm doing, you know, they won't tune in. That's fine, you know? Okay, you know, I'm not expecting everybody to like this. So we just don't talk about it, and it works. But and it's like I'm trying to, you know, and I don't want to sound flippant about this. I don't. But the fact of the matter is, if you're lonely, go out and meet people, and I know that's harder than to you know, easier said than done. But, you know, if you live anywhere where there's any people at all, there's usually some group somewhere. And for a lot of people, it's church. You know, I've come to the opinion more people in America go to church for the social aspect of it than the actual religious aspect. I've thought that for some time, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know. I mean, it's a positive environment. You have people who are not only not evil, but trying not to be evil, you know. So anyway, yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of lonely people in the world. I have to say, it's a problem I can barely relate to. So I've always been blessed by having a lot of family and a lot of loudmouth relatives. And yeah, we sometimes disagree, but it's like we're yelling at each other. The family that yells together stays together. I don't know. But yeah, I just found that very depressing. It's like yet another article about this. The interesting thing about this article is that it was worldwide. It wasn't just necessarily the United States. So, and it gets back to that thing about what I was talking about at the top of the show, and Jeff alluded to it too, about the fact that 75% of single liberal women said they prefer to marry a conservative man. And that still just blows my mind. It really does. But that was a figure. Like I said, when I read that, I actually had to go back and double check it because I thought I didn't believe it. You know, so anyway, tomorrow we got open camera night. You call up, we'll talk. I'm sure I'll have some stuff to gab about again. I want to thank Jeff Meyer for joining us. It's always entertaining. Yeah, he's going to be on next. He's coming on from this point on twice a month. So on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. So, and he's coming on next because of this whole thing with the debate, we had to stagger this, but his next solo appearance is going to be on November 15th, and then on November 8th is the third Republican primary debate, and like he said, if they were smart, they'd cancel it, but right now it doesn't look like they're going to, so we're going to have our usual panel here. That's the plan right now that we have for the previous two debates, and we invite you to join us for that too. And yeah. It's I'd like to say it's a perfect world. I got kind of depressed reading the news today, but you know, we're like Jeff said, you know, you just plow forward. Thanks for watching, everybody. I really appreciate it. Good night, Esperanza. Good night, Uncle Donnie, and good night to you wherever you are. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care.